All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at something every law student should know pretty well,
Yeah, definitely.
and that is the Sixth Amendment right to counsel,
Right.
specifically in misdemeanor cases.
Yeah.
And, obviously, we know about the Sixth Amendment
Great.
guarantees everyone the right to a lawyer. But today, we're going to be looking at sort of a more specific question, which is, when that right is triggered.
Yeah, like how do we know when that right applies?
Exactly. And specifically when the possibility of future jail time
Right.
is is on the table.
He's a factor. Yeah, that's a great point. And it can get kind of murky with these misdemeanor cases.
Exactly. And that's why we're doing this deep dive today.
Right.
And the case that's at the heart of our discussion today is
Yeah.
Alabama v. Shelton.
Such a good case for this topic.
And this was a 2002 Scotus case that really helped to clarify this area of law. So what we're going to be doing in this deep dive is really sort of getting to the core of this decision
Yeah.
and looking at the implications it has for understanding constitutional protections
Absolutely.
for people who are accused of misdemeanors.
Especially when there's that potential for jail time down the road. I mean, that's really the crux of it. That's where it gets tricky.
So let's set the stage here.
Okay.
Imagine you're Laureed Shelton and
Okay.
you're facing a misdemeanor assault charge in Alabama,
All right.
and you've decided to represent yourself.
Okay. Always a risky move, but it happens.
It happens.
Sometimes people choose to do that.
And in this case, you don't immediately go to jail,
Okay.
but you receive a suspended jail sentence and probation.
Interesting.
So the central question that we're going to be thinking about today is, did Shelton have a constitutional right to a lawyer in that situation, even though immediate incarceration wasn't the sentence?
Even though he wasn't immediately locked up. Right.
So,
It's a good question.
that's a really good question.
Yeah.
So let's start by looking at the specifics of the case.
Okay, so let's break it down. So Shelton was facing a third degree assault charge, which in Alabama is a Class A misdemeanor. And that comes with a potential sentence of up to a year in jail and a $2,000 fine.
So that's a
That's serious. It's
sentence.
not a slap on the wrist. It's a misdemeanor, but it's still something that could.
You do some time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now the trial court actually advised Shelton against self-representation
Okay.
because of the risks involved.
Right, which makes sense. I mean, that's pretty standard procedure to warn people about the potential pitfalls of going it alone.
And they made it very clear that it was risky, but Shelton decided to go ahead and represent himself, both in a bench trial and a jury trial.
So we went through both. Interesting.
And after those trials, he was sentenced to 30 days in jail,
Oh.
but that jail time was suspended.
So he didn't actually have to go to jail right away. Okay, so it's hanging over his head. Interesting.
He was also placed on 2 years of unsupervised probation
Okay.
with conditions,
There's always strings attached to probation.
Which included paying fines, court costs, and restitution.
Pretty standard stuff for probation.
But here's the thing, and this is kind of the crux of the issue.
Okay, yeah.
The trial court never offered Shelton appointed counsel,
Oh, wow.
even though there was this very real possibility
Right.
that his suspended sentence could be activated.
And he could end up serving that time. So that's where the Sixth Amendment question comes in.
So Shelton appealed, arguing that this suspended sentence with the potential for future incarceration meant that he should have had a lawyer.
So he's saying his Sixth Amendment right was violated. Interesting.
So this is where it gets interesting,
Okay, let's hear it.
because the case goes through these twists and turns, and it really highlights this core disagreement in the legal system. So first, his conviction goes to the Alabama Court of Criminal Appeals. And initially, they actually upheld the conviction.
So they sided with the trial court?
They said, nope, you didn't have a right to a lawyer in this case. However, they later reverse course,
Oh, wow.
completely flip their decision.
So they changed their minds.
And they say that the Sixth Amendment right to counsel doesn't apply in these cases where there's no actual deprivation of liberty.
So they're saying because he wasn't actually in jail at the time of sentencing,
At that moment.
the right to counsel doesn't kick in. Interesting. So it's all about timing for them.
Yeah, like a technicality.
Yeah, like a very specific moment in time.
Right.
Okay.
But the story doesn't end there.
Of course not. It's going to the Supreme Court.
It goes all the way up.
Right.
So the Alabama Supreme Court gets involved.
Go ahead.
And they overturned the Court of Criminal Appeals decision.
All right. So they disagreed with the appeals court?
They said actually a suspended sentence does constitute a term of imprisonment.
Oh, wow. Okay,
under the Sixth Amendment.
So they're basically saying that the possibility of jail time down the line is enough.
Is enough to trigger that, right.
To trigger the right to counsel.
Right.
Got it.
So now we have this split in the Alabama judicial system.
Yeah. Yeah. Lower courts disagreeing.
Yeah.
Makes sense that it would go up.
So it goes up to SCOTUS.
To the big guys.
Yeah.
Right. To settle the dispute.
So they grant cert to address this question.
It's an important constitutional question.
Yeah.
About the Sixth Amendment.
And specifically, to be very clear, the question before the Supreme Court was, does the Sixth Amendment right to counsel apply to defendants receiving suspended sentences where there's no immediate jail time?
So they're not going directly to jail.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
But incarceration is a real consequence.
Right. So they could still end up behind bars.
Right. If their probation is revoked.
If they mess up. Right. Basically.
Exactly. So that's the issue.
Right. It's a tough one.
Yeah. It's a really nuanced question.
Absolutely.
And this case is all about that tension between that immediate sentence and that looming potential future sentence.
Right. Because it's not a guarantee.
Right.
They might not go to jail.
Right.
But they could.
Right. So,
so that's what makes this case so interesting.
Yeah. So what does SCOTUS say?
Well, in a 5-4 decision.
Okay, close one.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
They decided that a suspended sentence that could lead to actual imprisonment cannot be imposed.
Unless the defendant had a lawyer during the whole process.
Wow, so they sided with Shelton.
They did, yeah.
Okay.
They said he should have had a lawyer.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah, Justice Ginsburg wrote the majority opinion.
Okay.
And she made a really key point.
Okay.
She said that for Sixth Amendment purposes.
Okay.
A suspended sentence is a term of imprisonment.
Wow. So even though he's not immediately going to jail, it's still considered a term of imprisonment.
That's right. That possibility is enough.
So what was the main reasoning behind their decision?
Okay. So this is important.
Yeah.
Their reasoning really hinges on what happens if someone's probation gets revoked.
Right. Because that's the real...
That's the key here.
That's the risk.
Exactly. So if Shelton violated the terms of his probation, he'd go to jail for those 30 days.
Right.
Right. But it's not for the probation violation itself.
Oh, interesting.
It's for the original crime.
Okay.
The assault.
So it's like that original sentence.
Exactly. It's just delayed.
Yeah. It's just on pause.
Right.
Got it.
So the court is saying that potential jail time is directly linked back to that first conviction.
Right.
So, which is why.
That's why it's so important.
Yeah, that first trial.
To make sure.
To be fair.
That the guilty verdict was reliable.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't have a lawyer.
Right.
And he was wrongly convicted.
Yeah.
Then he could end up in jail.
For something he didn't do.
Exactly.
Oh, geez.
So Justice Dutterberg said it really well.
Yeah.
She said that being deprived of counsel when tried, convicted, and sentenced means the conviction lacks the crucible of meaningful adversarial testing.
Wow. That's a really powerful statement.
It is.
So they're saying that without a lawyer, you can't really be confident.
Right. There's no guarantee about fairness.
Yeah.
You know, you need both sides to be represented for it to be a fair trial.
To make sure that it's reliable.
Right.
Yeah. So what were Alabama's arguments in this case?
Okay. So Alabama made a couple of key arguments.
Okay.
They first argued that the Sixth Amendment right to counsel should only apply when there's an actual immediate loss of liberty.
So like right at that moment?
Yeah. Like when they hand down the sentence,
you're
going straight to jail.
Okay.
That's when it should apply.
Okay.
And since Shelton's sentence was suspended, they said the right to counsel shouldn't have been triggered.
Interesting. So their argument was basically, it's not an immediate loss of liberty, so the right to counsel doesn't apply.
Doesn't kick in yet.
Right.
Yeah.
What was their second argument?
Their second argument was that even if a lawyer wasn't provided at trial, they could offer a lawyer at a probation revocation hearing.
Okay.
So basically giving him a lawyer later on down the road if he ended up back in court.
Right.
Yeah.
But the court didn't buy either of those arguments, did they?
They did not.
They shot them both down.
Yeah.
They said, no way.
Okay. So tell me about that.
All right. So first of all, they said that the Sixth Amendment isn't only about immediate incarceration.
So it's not just about that moment.
Yeah, it's broader than that.
Okay.
They recognized that a suspended sentence creates a very real threat of imprisonment.
Right. It's
like over you.
Yeah, it's always there.
Exactly. It can really affect your life.
Right. Like you have to be...
You have to walk on eggshells.
Yeah, you can't mess up at all.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so what about that second argument?
Okay, so their response to the second argument about providing a lawyer at the probation revocation hearing was really interesting.
Okay.
They said those hearings are for a different purpose.
Okay.
They're not about re-examining if you were actually guilty.
So it's not a retrial?
No, it's not about that.
Okay.
It's about whether you followed the rules of your probation. So the focus is on your behavior during probation.
So a lawyer at that hearing can't really...
Right. They can't go back in time and argue that the original conviction was wrong.
Right.
So the court said...
Yeah.
Having a lawyer at that point wouldn't fix the problem.
Right. Of a potentially unreliable conviction.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So think of it like this.
Okay.
You have this loan.
Okay.
And it comes with a condition.
Right.
Like you have to pay it back on time.
Okay.
If you break that condition, like you don't pay, the original obligation becomes due.
Gotcha.
So in this case, the original obligation is that jail sentence for the assault.
Right.
And breaking probation is like not paying the loan.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So the probation violation isn't a new crime.
Right.
It just triggers that original sentence.
Right. Right.
So that's why they're saying it's so important to have a lawyer.
Right. From the beginning.
From the start.
To make sure.
To make sure that original trial was fair.
Right.
And reliable.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great analogy.
Okay.
So as with many SCOTUS decisions, there was a dissent in this case.
Of course. There always is.
Yeah.
It's the Supreme Court.
So who dissented and what was their reasoning?
Okay. So the dissent was written by Justice Scalia.
Okay.
And he was joined by Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justices Kennedy and Thomas.
All right. So a pretty strong group.
Yeah. A solid dissent.
Yeah.
And their main point was that the Sixth Amendment should only apply when there's an actual deprivation of liberty.
Okay. So they're going back to that.
Yeah. They're sticking to that immediate loss of freedom argument.
Okay.
So they said a suspended sentence by itself doesn't take away your freedom right then and there.
Right.
So they didn't think it was enough to automatically require a lawyer.
So they basically thought that the majority was overreaching.
Yeah, they accused them of expanding the Sixth Amendment too far.
So they didn't think the Sixth Amendment.
Right. They thought it should only apply
to those future consequences.
To actual imprisonment.
Right. Interim.
Not just the possibility.
Okay, so we've covered the facts of the case.
Yeah.
The journey through the courts.
It was a long one.
Yeah.
It was bouncing around all over the place.
The majority's reasoning and the dissenting viewpoint.
We got it all.
Yeah. So now let's talk about why this case is so significant.
Okay. Yeah. This is the big takeaway.
What are the key implications of Alabama v. Shelton?
So Shelton really changed the game.
Okay.
When it comes to Sixth Amendment protections.
Okay.
In misdemeanor cases.
Okay.
Before this ruling, it wasn't always clear when the right to counsel applied.
Especially in those cases.
Especially with suspended sentences.
Right.
But Shelton made it very clear.
Okay.
The right to counsel applies to any misdemeanor case.
Okay.
Where jail time is a possible outcome.
Wow. So even if...
Even if it's just a possibility.
Right.
Even if it's way down the line.
Right. Even if it's suspended.
Yeah. Suspended sentences included.
So that's a huge win.
It is.
To defendants.
Yeah. It really strengthens their rights.
Yeah.
It's not just theoretical.
Right.
It has real practical implications.
So what are some of those practical implications?
So practically speaking, this ruling forced states to change how they handle misdemeanor prosecutions.
Okay.
They have to provide lawyers.
Okay.
In any case where jail time is on the table.
Wow, so that's a big change.
It is. It's a big shift.
For the system.
Yeah, and it probably led to a lot of changes in plea deals, too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because now the stakes are higher.
Yeah, right.
For the prosecution.
Yeah, because they know.
If they want to pursue jail time, they have to provide a lawyer.
Right, from the start.
From the get-go.
Okay, so it's not just about whether someone is going to jail immediately.
Right.
It's about whether there's even a chance.
Exactly. That potential is enough.
Okay, so the key principle here is...
The core idea is that everyone has a right to a fair trial before they can be deprived of their liberty.
Okay.
That's what the Sixth Amendment is all about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You can't have a system where someone could go to jail
right.
based on a conviction that might be unreliable.
Right, because they didn't have a lawyer.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So Shelton really solidified that principle.
Yeah, and it had a huge impact.
Yeah, huge impact.
On the courts
Definitely.
And public defenders.
Oh, yeah. Public defenders were swamped.
I can imagine.
I mean, this ruling
yeah.
created a lot more work for them.
Right, because now they have to represent
Yeah, a lot more
cases,
than it is.
All these misdemeanor cases.
Right, so they had to adjust.
Yeah, the whole system had to adjust.
Absolutely, it was a big change.
So let's just go back for a second and clarify a couple of things.
Yeah, good idea.
Just to make sure everyone understands.
Let's recap.
Yeah, can you explain again the difference between a suspended sentence
okay.
and actual imprisonment?
So a suspended sentence
yeah.
is basically a jail sentence
okay.
that's put on hold.
Okay.
You're not going to jail right away.
Okay.
But it's still there,
okay.
hanging over your head.
All right.
An actual imprisonment
yeah.
is when you're physically locked up.
Okay, so one is like a threat.
Right, it's a potential consequence.
Yeah, and the other one is like...
You're actually behind bars.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah.
And the key point in Shelton
right.
is that if someone violates probation,
yeah.
they go to jail for that original crime.
Exactly.
It's not a new punishment.
It's not for the violation itself.
Right.
It's for that original offense.
So that's why
yeah.
that initial trial.
That very first trial.
Yeah.
Is so important.
Has to be fair.
It has to be reliable.
Right.
Because the consequences.
Right, could come later.
Could be very real.
Right.
Down the line.
And one last thing. Okay.
Why can't a probation, revocation hearing
yeah.
be a substitute?
Right. That was Alabama's argument.
Yeah.
And the court rejected it.
For having a lawyer at that initial trial.
So the reason is a yeah. probation revocation hearing
yeah.
is very limited.
Okay.
It's not about guilt or innocence.
Yeah.
It's just about whether you followed the rules.
Okay. So it's like a technicality.
Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about whether you violated the terms of your probation.
So having a lawyer at that hearing.
Yeah.
doesn't really help you.
It doesn't address the core issue
right.
of whether you were actually guilty.
In the first place.
Of the original crime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the court recognized
yeah,
that that's not enough protection.
Yeah. It doesn't guarantee fairness.
So what's the one key takeaway?
Okay. So the big takeaway
yeah.
from Alabama v. Shelton
yeah.
is that you have the right to a lawyer
okay.
whenever there's a risk of going to jail.
Okay.
Even if that risk is down the road.
Even if it's suspended. Even if it's a suspended sentence.
Okay.
This case really emphasizes mm-hmm. that the judicial process has to be fair
right.
and reliable
yeah.
before anyone loses their freedom.
And that's what the Sixth Amendment is all about.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's a great summary.
Thanks.
And for all you law students out there.
Yes. Future lawyers.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Here's something to think about.
Okay.
How does this case.
Okay.
highlight that tension.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, our legal system.
Yeah.
Between efficiency and constitutional rights.
Right, because the courts want to be efficient.
Yeah.
They want to move cases along.
Yeah.
But they also have to protect people's rights.
Yeah.
And sometimes those two goals clash.
Right. And this case is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So think about the practical challenges that
yeah.
states face
right.
in implementing this decision.
It's not easy to balance those competing interests.
And think about the debates. Yeah.
Around indigent defense.
Right. Because who pays for all these lawyers?
Right. And how do we make sure that everyone has access to quality legal representation?
It's a big issue. It's
yeah.
a complex problem.
Yeah. And this case is a really great starting point.
Absolutely.
For thinking about all these issues.
It's a foundational case.
Yeah.
It really lays the groundwork.
So thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
On this deep dive into Alabama v. Shelton.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a great discussion.
I always love talking about this stuff.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It really is.
And we'll see you next time.
Until next time.
On The Deep Dive.
Keep diving.